This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck? It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, since we talked last, the Capitals have been lighting it up. Absolutely fantastic. Two wins since we talked last. Capitals started off with the best October in franchise history, most points in franchise history. A lot of stuff going on here. History-making season already, and the Caps were even able to celebrate a World Series win with their Nationals.
Yeah!
So joining me as always.
I was tired the next day.
So yeah, we did a podcast, and then you watched the World Series. I mean, that's a pretty full night for you.
Oh, man, I was so tired. I kept looking at the clock at one point and was just like, Greinke, speed it up, man.
Well,
like,
Coach.
There was a part of me that was like, you know what? If they lose, I hope they get blown out so I can go to bed at a reasonable hour.
Well, that didn't happen, thankfully. Well, yeah. Did you go to the parade over the weekend?
No, I was going to. We're hoping to take my nephew. My wife and I are going to take him. He's a huge baseball fan. But they weren't able to, they live down in, on the Eastern Shore, down in Salisbury, and they weren't able to make it up. And so, we decided not to go. We watched it on TV. Didn't seem like it was quite as interesting as the Caps one, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's the District of Champions.
That, Chesapeake Bay Bridge construction kind of ruined everybody's plans this winter and fall. So, makes it really hard to get across, from the shore nowadays, which really sucks, but you were at the game on Friday up against Buffalo where the Caps won 6-1.
Yes, I was.
What was it like being at Capital One Arena?
So they definitely made some changes. We all know about the scoreboard in terms of the difference. I got there around like 5:50 and I was meeting my dad. He's from Buffalo. So he was, you know, going to, got tickets to the game and my brother. And they got there after me, so and I was coming from work, and they were coming from Glenmont. They were coming from the other side of the red line. So I got there really early, and I went to the store, which they changed the layout since the last time I went, which was interesting. It's still crowded and hard to get around. I remember going to a so-called GM place up in Vancouver. Maybe it's different now. Their store, I just felt like had more space. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe because it was not during a game that it just felt like that way. But I just feel like there needs to be, if they really want a like a nice team store, I just feel like they need more space in there. It feels very snug.
It also didn't make sense to me when I went to go see AEW wrestling the beginning of October. The team store wasn't open. Like, I don't understand. I know it's not a basketball or a hockey event, but I feel like you should still have that store open because people might want, like, you know, a collectible something from Capital One Arena. You know, it just felt weird that it wasn't open because I went in earlier in the day because they were open till 5 and they had Caps Halloween and Thanksgiving pins, and I was like, I don't want to carry these around all day. I'll come back to the store once we can get in and I can like sit down and everything, and I couldn't get them because the store was closed, which sucked, but made no sense to me. But I saw the store with the new layout and everything like that, and yeah, still crowded, still doesn't really make any sense. I feel like that store should probably be double the size, but
Or even you know, you just another half or something, just a little bit more space. I feel like it would just be nicer for fans, a little bit more space. You're not kind of bumping into people as you're trying to get around.
Yeah, you don't want to rip a new $200 jersey on, like, you know.
No, it's $250 or something like that now. And you know what they didn't have? They didn't have any, or at least I didn't see it, but their, like, youth kids section is very small, and they didn't have, like, an infant baby toddler kind of thing.
Really?
Like, I was going to get a little onesie or something for my kid or something, and they had nothing. And the stuffed animals were overpriced. So I was like, screw that. So, it's still, like, you know, it's very nice store. Just a little small. But then I went in to watch warmups, And they have the new big screen, the new big
scoreboard.
The new scoreboard. I was trying to think of what was the wrestling term? The Jumbotron.
Yeah, the Titantron.
The Titantron. So they have the new big screen there. The scoreboard. And it's really nice. Like, I'm not gonna lie. It's really nice. The problem is, which is both good and bad. So I'm up in the 400s, and they have new big screens in the 400s on each corner, I believe, as well. So you can see, essentially, it's showing you the same thing that's on the big main screen.
Right.
But it blocks your visibility of the main screen and a little bit more of the scoreboard. So that was a little annoying. Because I think sometimes they had something different on there, and I was like, I can't really get a good angle to like see what's happening. But, you know, it was nice seats. You know, they're all pretty much nice seats in Capital One. None were too bad. And it's a very nice arena, no question about that. It was a great game. I thought it was going to be a tight game, considering that Buffalo at that point was, I believe, third in the league in points. And they got blown out pretty early on. I think it was, 4-0, 10 minutes into the game. And my dad, as a Buffalo fan, was very unhappy with the way that things were going. And yeah, it was pretty funny watching that game, just to see them blow them out. They kind of took the gas, their pedal off the gas a bit. But Buffalo just could not get anything going from the defense, with the Sabres was just hanging the goalie out to dry every time. Verona had his first one on a breakaway, and they had just so many easy opportunities to score in that game. It was ridiculous. And then it was pretty funny at the end of the game, them purposely trying to set up Verona for his first hat trick, which he ended up getting on Sunday against Calgary. But it was pretty funny to watch the guys as they were like, go stand over there and we'll just feed you the puck. Like, there was one point, I think it was Ovechkin had a wide open shot on net and he still passed to Verona to give him the opportunity to score. So that was pretty funny to watch.
But I mean, that shows you what a good leader Ovechkin is. He wanted the kid to get his first hat trick and had to wait a couple more days. But Jakub Verona was able to get that hat trick on Sunday. Also earned him the second star of the week from the NHL. 5 goals, 1 assist. I mean, that's not bad. 1 hat trick. The kid's definitely lighting it up this year. And I read an article this week that said it really was inspiration from the playoffs this past year that kind of kicked his butt into high gear in the offseason and this season, because Jakub Verona definitely did not perform as well as everyone had hoped in the playoffs last year. And you can definitely see the change in his game. Way more aggressive, getting way more points, and I mean, a first career hat trick. That's a quite an accomplishment for him.
So Verona is now currently third. I should probably say currently and now is a bit repetitive. He's currently third on the team in points. He's got 14 points with 9 goals, but 5 of those 9 are in the last 2 games. So he's definitely had a bit of a slow start to the season. He's got 5 assists, and I'm checking his specific stats, game stats. 3 of his 5 assists over the last 5 games. So he had a slow start to the season, but it seems like he's starting to wake up quite a bit. He's a bit dominating to some extent at the moment, and I think it's only going to continue. I hope.
I mean, it's only going to continue. This kid is the future, so I think he's going to have to do that, and I think he is doing really well right now. He's doing everything he's supposed to be doing, and it's definitely paying off, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's taking advantage of the opportunities that he's being given. He's on the second line. He's doing quite well. You put him up with a very talented, albeit questionable, decision-making person in Evgeny Kuznetsov. And then, you know, whether he's playing with Oshie or Tom Wilson, he's definitely got an opportunity to make something happen. Things are going well for him right now.
Yeah, absolutely it is, and it really shows. But the offense is going to get a little bit of help, it looks like. Liam O'Brien of the Hershey Bears didn't get to play a game, but he was called up. He was some backup due to injuries.
He did warm up against Buffalo. I saw him on the ice, and I was like, I suddenly started counting players because I was like, is he playing tonight?
They were probably.
Had texted me saying Kuznetsov was going to play earlier that day. I think you texted me saying he was going to play, but then I saw him on the ice during warmups, and I was like, oh. And I know sometimes the healthy scratches get to warm up as like a just in case. But that one for a second, I was like, oh. Brandon's boy is going to get to play.
It may have been like, hey, you know, you got all the way here. You've been spending a couple of days. We'll at least give you a jersey.
Well,
you get a sweater.
Here you go. You don't have to buy. That'll be $250, please.
It's like, what do you mean?
So, no, you know, it's good for him to get the opportunity. We had talked about them calling up someone last week, and we didn't even talk about Liam O'Brien because I was like, why would they call him up? I mean, he's doing okay, but I feel like they were going to give some young guy an opportunity to come up and get a cup of coffee with the team, and I guess that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they didn't need him, but, you know, he was there anyway. But it seems as if we're going to get some help back from some NHLers. Nick Dowd and Richard Ponick both were on the ice for practice today. Ponick is on long-term injury reserve. We're not going to see him till earliest will be Monday against the Coyotes. Mm-hmm. But
which is who he used to play for.
That's true. And a little bit motivation for him to get back there and play his old team. But Nick Dowd, it looks like he made the trip to Florida with the team, and it looks like we're going to see Nick Dowd back in the lineup. So thankfully, it looks like whatever he had ailing him is not a long-term thing, and he's already going to be back in the lineup. They're saying game-time decision, but with Liam O'Brien already being sent back down, I would assume Nick Dowd is playing.
Yeah, well, I mean, the team's not exactly struggling right now, so do you want to mess with it? The problem this team's actually going to have is when Dowd and Ponick comes off of long-term injury reserve, they have a salary cap problem that is not going to be easy to solve. And I was reading an article today on, I want to say Yahoo. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was from J.J. Reagan. About how this team, a number of things. We've talked about the whole Holpe and Samsonov and Seattle situation and the fact that Holpe and Backstrom both need to be re-signed and how this team has a bit of a salary cap issue. And they were also talking about what the team is going to do when, you know, they're talking about someone had written in, I guess, when it was a Caps mailbag, and they were talking about trading Ponick. And I was like, first of all, not exactly sending the best message if you sign a guy to a four-year deal, he gets hurt, and then you trade him in his first season. Now, if he continues to struggle going forward, yeah, then I could see them trying to get out from under that salary cap problem. But I think they're going to give him every opportunity to succeed, especially when you gave him a four-year deal. It's not going to be easy to necessarily get rid of that guy unless you buy him out, and that just gives you a whole other set of problems. So bringing him back, they're going to have to send a couple guys down or make a trade. And the one person that was brought up in the article likely moving on was Chandler Stephenson. And even though he's been playing well lately, he's the guy that he, you know, they could put him on waivers, but he's likely going to get picked up, or at least has the opportunity to get picked up. And he's a bit expensive. I'm bringing up his salary cap hit right now at just over $1,500,000. That's when you don't have the cap space and you feel like Nick Dowd, who's only costing you $750,000, you got Travis Boyd, who you've been playing pretty good lately, and you've got Brendan Leipzig and Garnet Hathaway. And Garnet Hathaway is on a four-year deal at 1.5 per. Can you afford to keep a guy like Chandler Stephenson? So they, you know, the article is talking about how Stephenson likely is gone, and one way or another. And then do you see them send a guy like Jonas Sengenthaler down only because he's one of only two guys on this team that can be sent down without being passed through waivers? And do you just move him down and wait a little bit until you have the cap space to then bring him back up?
So I'm a little confused. Why would you send Sengenthaler down?
Because he doesn't have to pass through waivers. So you send him down for a little bit until you can afford to bring him back up when you have the cap space. Something about banking cap space. It's a stupid thing where, like, further in the season, his salary costs less his cap hit, and so you can actually afford him at that point under the salary cap. But it's weird how it works out. But they kind of send him down for a little bit and then bring him back up later on. But you still have a defensive core of Carlson, Orlov, Gudas, Kempney, Jensen, and I guess Tyler Lewington at that point.
I mean, when you're Chandler Stephenson and you are on that fourth line and you are making that amount of money, I mean, we saw this happen with Matt Bradley, with Matt Hendricks, all the Mats, if you can think about them.
Matt Pettinger.
You know, all these guys They kind of priced themselves out. They kind of reached the peak that they could at that price point. But where they're at and their skill set, it's not like they can really go much further with that.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I feel like they want to keep him, but they've kind of put themselves in a tough spot with the amount of money that they've offered a couple of guys. I mean, you've got a huge cap hit in Ovechkin, and that one's ending after next season. You gave Kuznetsov $7.8 million a season. That's a big cap hit. So that, it puts you in a tough spot. Backstrom's wrapping up his $6.7 million cap hit. Oshie's at $5.75. Wilson's at $5.166666, which is weird and probably a bit disturbing.
Evil.
Eller's at $3.5 million. Rana's at $3.35 million. Hagelin, $2.75 million. So you have these guys that are, you know, decent deals. And then you have, you have the Ponic one when he comes off right now is not earning his $2.75 million. So then you have Carlson at $8 million, Orlov at $5.1 million, Gudas, who's unrestricted after the season at $2.345 million. Why is he above? This is based on salary, so why is he above Kempney and Jensen? Either way, so these, you know, you're in a tight cap space. The Caps don't have a lot of cap space. And that puts them in a tough spot to be able to hang on to someone who might be, you know, a million is not that big a deal for a fourth line guy. But when you don't have the cap space, you have to get a little creative. And when you have a guy like Travis Boyd and a Brendan Leipzig who costs less and might produce the same amount for you, then you're looking at potentially moving on. I mean, Stevenson's got 3 points in 12 games. He's a plus four. Leipzig's got 5 points in 16 games. Hathaway's got 6 points in 16 games. They're statistically outproducing him. And so is Stevenson then the odd man out? You know, but then you look at, well, Ponic, but I kind of wonder, Ponic's got no points in 8 games, but I kind of wonder his injury, if that's a bigger situation than, you know, how far back that actually went.
Right.
Yeah, something that was nagging him and that's why he's struggling. Is it just you? Just struggling to adapt to a new team. Those things take a while. I'll say Boyd's been doing pretty well. He's got, what, 3 points in his last 4 games. Right. All of them being assists, but I'll take it. 3 points in his only 4 games. So that's not too bad. So the question is, you know, Stevenson now at that kind of cap hit and you need the cap space, do you move him, sending him down and potentially letting him go for nothing or trying to make a trade and get a probably a low draft pick? No offense, Chandler. I know he's listening. Sorry, dude.
You know he's listening. Of course he's listening. he's a huge fan.
Of course.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Chandler Stevenson, and we'll see what happens with the cap space, especially with these guys coming back. One guy, though, who's definitely earning all of his money. Absolutely fantastic October. Mr. John Carlson, he was named the number one, the first star of the month for the NHL. As a defenseman, some of the points he was putting up on the board, kind of crazy. You don't see defensemen do that very often. But John Carlson, there's a reason we call this guy Captain America, right?
I guess he's Captain America. Sometimes it's TJ Oshie. Sometimes it's Christian Pulisic. No, Carlson, I don't know if someone lit a fire under his butt or what, but dude has been ridiculous. Like you said, he's first star for October, 23 points in 14 games. 7 of those are goals. 16 of those are assists. He's just been like, you know what, guys, I got this. And just put the team on his back. Given, yes, other people are producing. Ovechkin's got 19 and 16 games. Rana's got 14 and 16. Oshin 12 and 16. Backstrom 12 and 16. He's got to pick it up a little bit. You know, this is a guy who's just been like, I got this. And he's playing some outstanding hockey. He's a plus 11, which is incredibly impressive. And you just kind of want to see it going and see how long that kind of thing can last. And I mean, he's been playing some outstanding hockey, and, you know, it's even more impressive because they shifted the defensive pairings around. So it's not like consistently with one guy. It's not the old Carlsner show. So.
Kempney has been his.
I think the NHL's website is struggling.
Kempney has been his partner in crime since Kempney's been back, right?
Oh God, I can't remember. I think there was a shift in there at some point. But yeah, it sounds like he's probably been with Kempney, and that seems like a really good pairing. He's currently fifth in the league in points with 23, 7 behind first place David Pastrnak, who I still think is missing a letter in his name. Then you have Marchand. Yeah, but he's a douche. Leon Draisaitl with Edmonton and Connor McDavid Edmonton, and then Carlson. So that is
so.
And then
is he the only defenseman?
My boy Elias Pettersson in Vancouver. Is he a what?
Is he the only defenseman?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, since I just closed it like an idiot. Dang, I'm opening it back up because I'm stupid. Let's see. The next defenseman after him is, unless I miss someone, is 20th with 16 points. Dougie Hamilton in Carolina, which sounds right because that dude's good. He's a good offensive. And then Roman Josi at 22 with 16 as well. So he and Hamilton are kind of tied. It's early in the season still. It's not, you've only played, teams have played anywhere from like, I think 12 to 17 games. Caps are right there at 16. And yeah, it's been going well for him so far.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the team as a whole. We talked about this at the beginning of the season, maybe in the preseason as well, about how the Capitals have kind of done something differently. They've shifted than what the rest of the NHL has done. The NHL has gotten much faster, and it's gone for a leaner look for a player. But the Capitals have actually kind of gone in a different direction, and they've bulked up, and they've gotten some heavier players, some bigger
hitters. They're a bunch of fatty.
As the league gets away from fighting and the violent part of the game, the Capitals kind of doubled down and said, no, we like the fights. And they've got guys like Radko Gudas. And
you know how they're going to win the cup? Because everyone else is going to be injured because they beat everybody up.
That's one way to do it.
You can't win the cup if you can't play, punks.
That's what they do. And we've got guys like Alex Ovechkin, who isn't afraid to get physical. You do have new guys like Garnett Hathaway. He leads the team right now in hits with 41. But we're a month in, and I mean, the points are stacking up for the Capitals. Do you think that the Capitals have made the right move? Is this something that they can sustain throughout the entire season and postseason with this style of hockey being so different than the rest of the league?
I mean, it's going to depend a lot of it on their conditioning. And as long as they can keep moving their feet. I mean, I think when you get to that midpoint of the season, when everyone's getting a bit tired and, you know, the people start looking forward to that stupid bye week. You know, we'll see how long they can keep maintain it, but it's something that could come back to bite them if they start getting a bit tired and a bit winded.
Well, I mean, something that's really affected this team, at least once, player specifically, is Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson, Willie Baby, he was the guy that everyone talked about. I mean, he got suspended last year for 16 games for some illegal hits to the head. He's a big guy. He plays rough. But I feel as if that potentially some of these players, these big guys like Radko Gudas, were brought in to kind of take that load off of Tom Wilson being the only guy willing to rough somebody up, and he's able to focus on his game a little bit more. He's top line Tom, you know, that this is what they've always wanted him to be.
Second line Tom now?
He is, but I mean, I think the goal will always be
ring to it.
It doesn't, but top line Tom is what they always want him to be. And he already has 12 points, where last year he had 22 goals and 18 assists in 63 games. And for him to already have 5 goals and 7 assists in just a month, I mean, it definitely seems as if he can focus more on goal scoring and doing what he has to do to get the puck in the back of the net instead of constantly making sure that nobody else is messing with his captain or other people on this team. So what do you think this switch up, this heavy hitting, heavier, bulkier body of the Capitals has done for a guy like Tom Wilson?
I mean, like you said, it means that he doesn't have to always be the one policing the other team and making sure that they're behaving themselves. And it gives him the opportunity, again, like you said, to focus on the offensive side of his game, which is something that we've been kind of waiting to see more and more of. And we have been seeing more of it over the last, I want to say, season. And now the early part of this one. And you kind of want to see that continue. I think it's good to have a guy that has the physicality in his back pocket, but doesn't always need to use it. It's not something that you have to ask of him potentially every game. And then that, you know, if he's fighting or whatever it is, that's taking him off the ice for 5 minutes. He doesn't have to always be the one that's dropping the gloves. So I think it's just given him more opportunities to focus on the other aspects of his game that everyone kind of expected him to have when he came into the league. But there is some concern regarding, as you know, at least for me, kind of like I talked about during the last thing we were talking about, is if this team is going to be a bit too heavy, and when they get to a point where speed is a more important factor, or they're getting tired, are they going to find themselves stuck with with a lineup that doesn't work in today's NHL.
All right, anything else we should cover in Caps world?
Well, I got a couple of things. The Courage caps and shirts are now on sale. Purchasing one of these benefits the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, or TAPS, which is a nonprofit organization that cares for the families of America's fallen heroes. So the hats are on sale for 25 shirts. Sorry, t-shirts are 20. And they're actually, I don't think they had these in the past. They're 3/4 sleeves. T-shirts are 30 now. Or those are 30. They're actually pretty cool. They looked, not to be mean, I felt like they look better when they're on the players. And then I think I saw one like a store or somewhere. And I was like, that doesn't look quite as nice as I thought it was going to look.
Were you just impressed with TJ Oshie? Is that what you were looking at?
Well, Carlson looks like a hunter with like he's like weird beard thing he always has going. But the shirts, they typically say Courage on the front, and then on the back they have the Weagle.
Mm-hmm.
And every year the color has changed, or the design's always kind of been the same. Now it says all Courage, because that all caps thing apparently is their like thing that has to be everywhere, which I still think is a stupid slogan, but whatever. But then they also have the Weagle now in color on the front. So I'm wondering if there's anything on the back. I'm guessing the answer is no, but they're pretty comfortable shirts. I've always enjoyed them. I think last year's, I want to say, was like a black. It's a lightweight shirt. Very nice. I'm tempted to get one of the 3/4 sleeve shirts this year, because I always get the other ones. I've always gotten the other ones in the past.
The caps are a little behind the times here. Those baseball tees is what they used to be called, the 3/4 length shirts.
Mm-hmm.
That was an in style 2 years ago, but they've kind of fallen out of style.
Maybe it's coming back into style, Brandon.
And the long sleeve tee is the in style right now. So, I mean, slowly the sleeve got further and further down the arm as fashion has gone on. But I will say the 3/4 length sleeve t-shirt is my favorite one of the just regular t-shirt in that. So I do dig that. I if I were to buy a shirt, it would be the baseball tee.
Yeah, I like the baseball one. I think it's nice.
Yeah. I'm not a big hat guy because my head is huge and I have a man buns. But I if you want to, get a hat, go ahead.
It's a camo hat. I don't hunt. I'm not in the military, so it seems kind of weird. No offense.
You know what is really fun to do is when your friend has a baby, kind of like you, but they put them in camouflage wear and like just camouflage pants, and you freak out the parents by going, "Where did his legs go?" And they're like, "What do you mean? What happened? What's wrong?" I'm like, "His legs are missing. They're gone. It just goes torso and then socks." And then they realize you're making fun of camouflage, and you're asked not to come over anymore.
Yeah, don't worry. My kid doesn't have any camouflage gear, so we don't have to worry about that. But in other Caps news, I think we missed this, but this was actually back in September, so our bad. But the team named former U.S. Olympian Haley Skrupa as a hockey ambassador for the team. She's going to be assisting the team's youth hockey efforts. So congratulations to her on the new gig.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or I guess congratulations.
She's
not so new anymore.
Yeah, she's a local person, and she
right. She's from Rockville, where I'm from.
Yeah, she's from Rockville. So there you go.
She went to Wooten.
Good for her. Glad she. She got that job, and maybe she'll come on the podcast. That'd be nice.
That would be pretty cool. She was drafted, let's see, in the 2015 NWHL draft. She was selected by the New York Riveters. Riveters? Am I saying that right? This article on Wikipedia, I just realized, is repetitive in this sentence. Well done, whoever wrote this. And then got traded to the Connecticut Whale. Is she one of the players who's like, "I'm not playing for you unless you give us better," like, rights, but that's not what I'm trying to say, like, you know, better pay and
equal pay.
I don't know if I can get equal in terms of the millions, but certainly better pay and better accommodations, and they certainly deserve it if they're going out there and, you know, playing games and putting their bodies on the line for other people's entertainment. They should be compensated for it,
right? So, I mean, so we were talking, I think it was was it the World Cup? World Cup of hockey, the women's hockey series last year, and that the women were making like not even a livable wage to go to a foreign land and you know, play this tournament, quit your day job and go play this tournament. I mean, not a very fair way to play, I guess.
No, not at all. They're definitely getting screwed over.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I believe something's happening. We're recording this on Wednesday the 6th. I think a new campaign that Hillary Knight put out there is going to be debuting tomorrow on the 7th. So we'll post that to our Facebook page when we spot it.
Oh, okay. Nice, nice, nice. But yeah, I think that's all the Caps news from the past week.
All right. Well, Caps are going to be busy the next week or so. Hopefully they can stay on this streak that they are on because, man, what fun it has been to watch these guys play recently. So
they're going to have to keep it up because the Islanders are right behind them. They started, I think, the season 1-3 because they've gone on a 10-game winning streak and are now 11-3. Wow. They've played two less games and are only 3 points behind. So if they keep it up, Caps are in a bit of trouble in terms of if they want to keep that first spot, not only in the Metropolitan Division, but the entire National Hockey League. Caps are currently first in the league, though they have played one more game than Boston, who is only 1 point behind them.
Miss you, Trotsky. Enjoy New York, man.
All right, man, he's done. Well, enjoy the island. He's done some great stuff over there.
He really has. I mean, great coach. Who would ever let him go?
But anyway. I still think they'd probably get knocked out in the playoffs last year because I think they just ran out of gas.
Yeah. I mean, they lost four straight, right? They got swept against Carolina.
Caps?
No, the Islanders.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Caps. I think would have still got knocked out last year, even with him, because I think they just ran out of gas.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right, well, we are going to go down on the farm. Everybody say it. Let's go, Caps. But first, let's hear about the Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Let's go down on the farm. All right, welcome back to the show. It's time to go down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, the Bears went 2-1 with wins over Providence and Syracuse. A little better than they have been doing. They'll be back at it with three games over the weekend, starting on Friday in Hartford, Saturday in Lehigh Valley, and then Sunday they come home to the Giant Center against, you guessed it, Lehigh Valley. All right. It's our time of year again, folks, where every other game is against freaking Lehigh Valley. Get ready for it. It's actually not true. I don't think they play them again after Sunday for the rest of the month. But down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-0 with a dominating 8-2 win over Orlando. Eat it, Mickey.
Wow.
They'll be back at it on Friday with back-to-back games on the road, both of them in Greenville. In minor league news, Caps prospect Connor McMichael was named the OHL Player of the Week for the second time this season. The 2019 first-round pick is currently playing with the London Knights. And in two games this past week, he scored 4 goals and had 4 assists.
Wow.
Kid is lighting it up. I'm excited to see him play with the Caps.
Is that Dale Hunter's team? Soon.
Yep.
I thought so.
Yep. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right. Well, go Bears, go Stingrays, and hey, go McMichael. Way to go, man. OHL star there. All right, everybody. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, here we go. We're going around the NHL. It's not just the Caps. A lot of other teams are doing things like unveiling Winter Classic jerseys. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, Brandon, let's start with our favorite subject. Jersey talk!
Yay!
Yeah! Dallas unveiled their 2020 Winter Classic jerseys, and my God, are they terrible! I get that they're paying tribute to the history of hockey in Texas, but good Lord, wow. It's like someone created their jersey using the team editor in an NHL video game. They look freaking ridiculous. I got to bring it back up on the computer. But like, how did not one person go, guys, perhaps you should try this again. They look stupid, like green fine, the white piping, with then the white on, like on down the arm. I just, it's a goal. They didn't even show on this picture how it looks on the side. Not that it would make it any better, however it looks. But then you got like the white around the elbow, which is dumb. But the giant D on the jersey. And not the one Brandon's giggling about. It's like it. It's just terrible.
You should get one of these jerseys.
Even the dude, and I can't. Hell no. Even the guy, and I can't. I'm embarrassed to say I don't know who that is. But the player in this picture on Tyler the NHL's Sagan? Website. Is it Sagan?
Yeah.
I don't know. He looks not happy with like life right now in this picture. Like he genuinely looks like he hates everything.
Is it like Phil Kessel on that USA jersey?
Good Lord. Honestly, I'd rather wear that USA jersey than this piece of crap. Like this jersey is just, it's embarrassing. It's so bad. And I get the A is a star. How clever. Terrible.
I'm not a fan of this jersey.
This is the first time I think you and I have agreed on a jersey.
I think.
Except for like the USA one. We also agreed on that because that was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially the one, the most recent USA jerseys. Oh, they were just absolutely terrible. Not the one from Sochi, but the one from South Korea.
It's just, how come other countries can stick with the same jersey every year? Why can't we do that? Just stick with the 1981. It was great. Leave it alone.
The Dallas Stars jersey. Yeah, I don't know. That's a big D right there in the center there. Almost as big of a D as Coach Dan is. But I don't understand the
unnecessary.
the white on the sleeves. I'm okay with that. I don't like the white shoulders. But why are they in khaki pants?
Oh, I don't think that's. Wait.
That goes with the jersey because the line down the side matches the jersey.
Wait, what? Are we looking at the same picture? It's just Sagan looking pissy?
Yeah.
So wait, are those the color of the pants that they're going to be wearing?
Yeah. Why are they wearing Dockers?
Can we move on to the national one? Because this one, it hurts my feelings.
The Nashville one, I actually kind of dig.
It's not bad. It's not great. It's not even that good. But when you look at this Dallas one, you're like, yeah, okay.
I
actually kind of like the shoulder.
The saber-tooth guy?
I like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I dig the saber-tooth. It kind of looks like the Bruins bear a little bit.
Yeah, I guess. I can see that.
Are they wearing?
I'm with you on that.
I think they're wearing dark blue, maybe as for the pants, not khakis like the Dallas Stars are.
I don't know who the model is in the particular shot I'm looking at right here, but I can't tell. But hey, I think he's just wearing just like normal pants, and I can't tell from this video. It's not showing it. Roman Josi wearing the pants. I would guess they're going to be blue.
Yeah.
Why don't you just send me?
I sent you the picture I was looking at so you can see the khakis. Make sure you're looking at the same picture as me.
I've only seen one picture, and I need to never see it again. Oh, no, there's a second picture, at least at the start of this. No, the Dallas one is an embarrassment to society. And the Nashville one, oh, my God, it actually works with the pants.
Right? Yeah.
Like, if they were green... Oh, there's a there's the Texas is on the slate. This is as stupid as I thought it was going to be. My God. No, just it's going to look so dumb.
Now, if you take that elbow patch of the state of Texas and the D in there, put that on the front, I'd be okay with this jersey.
See, I would be okay with if they just burned it. That's my suggestion. The Nashville one's okay, though I do question Roman Josi wearing the knit hat. They're playing in Dallas. I think you'll be okay. I'm not too worried about you, your head being cold there, bud.
How many years until Vegas hosts a Winter Classic?
Next year.
There's no
doubt. It's the West. They're going to give one back to the East 2 years from now, I would imagine.
There's no doubt in my mind that that Vegas is getting a Winter Classic as soon as they could fit one in. Like they are counting down the years until they can put one in Vegas and be like, hey guys, look, it's amazing. It's ice skating and it's outside in the desert. How crazy. It's coming.
No, I would not at all be surprised. Like, when that one gets announced, it's going to be one of those who are like, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's that. They're going to make some money on that one.
All right. Anything else going on around the NHL?
Yeah. Besides jersey talk, not that we have to worry about. No. Milan Lucic was at it again, and he got suspended for 2 games for roughing Columbus forward Cole Sherwood. And finally, San Jose's Evander Kane is being sued by the Cosmopolitan Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas for not paying them back after taking out $500,000 in markers. Markers.
What?
You know what a marker is? It's like they essentially lend you the money with the anticipation you're going to lose it and then have to pay them, or you pay that part. I don't know exactly how it works. The point is they owe this hotel casino. He owes them $500,000 and he's refusing to pay. So they're suing him and he's an idiot. Isn't he the same dude that had all the money in a picture and he was like holding up all this money or something?
Yeah, that was him.
He's an idiot. So anyway, and now that picture, if he was doing Monopoly, that would have been funny. But anyways, that's news from the past week in the NHL.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff, as well as things about Arsenal Football Club, Emery out, the Buffalo Bills, and a number of other things that come to mind. The Nats, although it's the offseason now, still think they're obviously going to re-sign I have to hope they're going to re-sign Strasburg and Anthony Rendon. And I swear he needs to stop swinging at the first pitch every time. It's one of the first things you learn playing baseball is usually you take the first pitch and kind of size up the pitcher, but he decided to swing at every single one, and it was driving me crazy. And maybe I'm the only one. But I complained about it on Twitter, so that's that. But that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you've enjoyed this show, if you've enjoyed Jersey Talk, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if you have just a moment for us, if you'd be so kind to let the people out in the world, let them know where they can find other shows you work on.
That's right. You can go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about this show and all the other stuff that we do around here. You can check out my Ravens podcast called The Call. It is available wherever you listen to this podcast. The Ravens beat the Patriots this past Sunday. Records going crazy, you know, breaking ratings, I should say, for Sunday night football games, seeing the Patriots.
Yeah, like they scored like 100 points. What record did you beat?
The ratings for the Sunday night game was the most in like 5 years. So, I mean, it was big deal to see Tom Brady go down. And it was wonderful to hear on FS1 on Monday that this is the first time in a very long time that Tom Brady has looked across that football field and saw someone better than him.
All right, let's not go crazy.
That's what they said. Not my words. People on FS1 said it.
Well, people on FS1 can settle down.
So if you're a Ravens fan or if you want to get into football, check out The Call podcast. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web, TikTok. If you crazy kids are on the TikTok, let people know to listen to What the Puck and that you're a Washington Capitals fan. All right, so let's go over the shows until we talk again. On Thursday, November 7th, the Capitals are in sunny Florida up against the Panthers. That game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington locally here. Saturday, November 9th, the Capitals come back home. They're ready to take on the Vegas Golden Knights. It's a rematch from the Stanley Cup Finals in 2018. You can watch that game on NBC Sports Washington at 7 o'clock or on ESPN+. On Monday, November 11th, the Capitals stay home. They welcome the Coyotes to town. Arizona's coming. You can watch that game on NBC Sports or on NBC Sports Washington here. And that game's at 7 o'clock. And then on Wednesday, it's Wednesday night, not rivalry night, but kind of rivalry night. I don't know what they want to call it anymore. Green Day will be playing at the beginning of the game, so that's cool. But the Caps will be up against Philadelphia in Philly, up against the Flyers. You can watch that game at 7:30 on NBC Sports. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening to us. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.